Hello everybody and welcome to the HTXT Africast. This is a kind of a special edition. I think we'll talk about why it's a special edition near the end. Not to kind of tease you about it. It's kind of our penultimate edition from where we record now, from this podcasting area, which we'll get to at the end, but we've got more important things to speak about. Joining me today, Lungi.
Hello, hello, back again from last week.
Yes, and Charlie.
Good afternoon.
Now, last week you guys threw each other under the bus, so who's going first this time?
Okay, I'll go first
this time. Thank you.
I'll take the hits.
Yeah, I was going to see if you were gonna take it. So Lungi,
I'll take one for the team.
What's going on?
I'm so drained, hey? Like, utterly, totally drained. Every day, there's something new about Hlaudi Motsoeneng, who is the... We don't know what he is right now at the SABC, but he's the former COO. And what he's former because a second bid to apply for leave to appeal a court decision from 2014 that ruled that his appointment as permanent CEO was unlawful based on a number of factors included in a report by outgoing public protector Thuli Madonsela. That's a mouthful. But yeah, so basically he was not supposed to become CEO because, you know, he didn't have a matric and a number of other reasons. Okay, so he and Minister of Communications tried twice to appeal the decision, but the Supreme Court of Appeal turned down the last attempt on Sunday, and then it was announced by the DA on Monday. And so, well, basically what that meant is they couldn't take the matter to the Constitutional Court because the matter is not a constitutional matter. It's not a basic human rights kind of thing. It's just one of those things where it ends at a certain court and it cannot go to the Constitutional Court. So they couldn't take it further, which means that, I mean, legally, strictly speaking, he had to vacate his post as COO. Right. So, and then there's a whole lot of speculation around, okay, what's going to happen on Tuesday? Apparently, he pitched up at work as an ordinary, quote, SABC employee, whatever that means. And then, right, and so apparently the SABC board wrote a letter to the Minister of Communications, Faith Mutambi, to say, can you please, you know, get this guy back into the CEO post? And, okay, it went quiet for about, you know, a day or half a day. And then last night, a letter supposedly sent to the Ministry of Communications with that request popped up. And then it also showed at the bottom of that letter that the board had indeed resolved to bring Hlaudi back as the acting COO and that this letter had been sent to the Ministry of Communications. Right. Okay. So Ministry of Communications says, nope, we never received this letter. We don't know about it. Everything's up to the SABC board. But, I mean, according to what the letter states, Hlaudi Motsoeneng is now the acting SABC CEO from the period of the 19th of September, Monday, to the 18th of December. And, not sure what's going to happen after the 18th of December, but, you know, it's a bit of a temporary or, you know, rotational posts. So it's really confusing. Oh, it's like, what the hell is happening? Is he staying or is he leaving? Is he being fired or is he being kept? And what the reason?
Schrodinger's COO. He's both the CEO and not the CEO at the same time.
And you know why that you're right in saying that is because the court ruled on his permanence. Appointments as the COO, and now acting COO was not covered in the ruling. So I mean, on a legal technicality and loophole, he is able to become acting CEO. So essentially, nothing happened really. But if you think about it,
but the big question is, how is he still there?
It's what happens when you have friends in high places. If you've got friends in the board, and if you're in the Minister of Communication is your biggest buddy, I mean, that's what happens, you know?
Can we legally say that? I'm worried about being sued for libel.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I don't want anyone to get sued. We obviously, because we're not in the SABC, we don't know the real 100% reasons. Yes. This is just conjecture.
The 90% reason.
The 90%,
we're 90%
exactly.
Sure.
We're
90%
sure, yes.
So what's strange is you said he's legally supposed to or not supposed to be the CEO. That might be different because the SABC is currently a branch of the government. If you like opened your own business, you could appoint anyone you want to CEO.
Yeah.
You could be like, I'm going to appoint my dog. Maybe not your dog. You could appoint your 5-year-old nephew as the CEO. I'm sure that would be legal, but I think it's different because it's part of the government.
Besides for child labor laws.
Yeah, so I pay him in chocolate. It's fine. it's very strange because when you said that, like the legality of a position in a company, that struck me as strange, but then I remembered that it's a branch of the government.
But like you mentioned, I think it is going to be a problem in the future because like you said, they employed him now as the acting,
yes,
and the other ruling was on his permanent employment,
yes.
So they could just go, well, he's acting for life, you know,
he's winning an Oscar,
it's not against the ruling because they ruled on his permanent,
and that's what's so frustrating is that they can't do this, and who knows, maybe they can for the next few years or so. And interestingly enough, while Claudi had remained quiet this entire time, his lawyer had been speaking for him.
Good plan.
But today, just about 30 minutes ago, it rounded up the funeral of Mandoza, who passed away on Sunday, the South African Kwaito legend, was held in Soweto. And so Claudi was one of the people billed to speak there. Right. So, I mean, he started off well, you know, took a minute or two just to speak highly of Mandoza. And then for the other 8 or 9 minutes that he had, he went on a rant.
Yeah.
And the story is up on our website if you want to know all about that. But something interesting that he said in the rant is that he told his detractors that they cannot decide his future. He decides his future and he will not leave the SABC.
How full of yourself do you have to be to go to someone's
funeral.
And make it about you?
That's cloudy.
It's like we all have that one friend that's like, oh, I went waterboarding this weekend. Oh, I went waterboarding in the Bahamas one day. Waterboarding is actually torture.
It all
torture.
Has to turn around back to
but
him.
But he's really that friend who just wants to make everything about him.
Yep, and so, the Claudi saga continues, I can guarantee you. On Monday or Tuesday next week, there'll be something new again that is just totally ridiculous, and it's just a development from here onwards. It's really, that's why I'm saying I'm so drained and I'm so tired. It's just one thing after the other.
I thought you were going to say a development from hell. It's been such it's been an ordeal.
No,
it's been a saga.
It's been really draining.
My God,
oh, goodness.
Or a saga. Yeah, so all those stories. Usually at the end of these podcasts, I put a list of stories we mentioned. I'm going to have to put a lot of stories at the end of this because, like, every day we have a new. We should make a new subsection of the site dedicated to this. We're going to have games, startups, makers,
and Claudi.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So that's just touching on it, like, briefly. That is a drop in the ocean. That is this thing. 2016, man. It's just So anyway, we're going to move on to a lighter matter, I feel, and Charlie's got a game for us to speak about today.
I do?
I hope so. Otherwise, we have to fill out the next 10 minutes with white noise or something.
Yes. So Forza Horizon 3 launched this week. It kind of launched. If you bought the Ultimate Edition, you get early access, 7 days early access before it actually launches next week.
That's early. Usually, like, if you buy something, the most you get is a few hours or a day.
Yeah,
7 days is a lot.
It launches on Tuesday. And it's a really cool game. It's the continuation of the Horizon spin-off from the bigger Forza.
So can you explain this to me quick, just while we're on the name and we haven't delved? So there was Forza, and then there's Forza Horizon.
Yes.
I hope it's Forza or Forza, whatever. It's
depending on what side of the ocean you're on.
Yeah. So what is this Horizon spin-off and how does it relate? Because Forza is very like, it's a sim game, it's a sim racing game.
Yeah, it is more to a simulator than anything else.
To the, an arcade racer.
Yeah, then to an arcade racer. The main Forza franchise has always been on purity and authenticity and all those things. And it was generally around track racing. So all the cars were standard. You had to race them the way they were. You raced around tracks, all those things. And then 4 years ago, they decided to bring out the Horizon spin-off, which takes a bit of an open world look at things. There's skill points that you can earn by doing donuts and driving over and through trees. So it's a little bit more arcadey. It's a little bit more fun. So I think they wanted to widen their net because, I mean, racing games, that's a fairly niche. Authentic racing games is a fairly niche.
Yeah, some racing games are, along with other sim games like Flying Sims and stuff like that, they're really nitty-gritty. It's like, oh, I want to go around this corner at 120Ks. It's like, no, you can't do that because in the real world, your car would flip and your tires would explode. You have to go around it at 20, you idiot.
Exactly. So Forza, the franchise, the main franchise is to Gran Turismo what Horizons are to something like The Crew.
Yeah.
And so it's just fun. It's driving around in over 400 cars, whatever cars you want. It's really good. It's really good. We've already put the review up. I gave it an 8 out of 10. I know some people, they will crucify me for that because they think it's the best game ever created.
I saw people, this game is also on Windows 10. And yes. On the Windows Store where you can buy this game, for some reason, whoever programmed this should be kneecapped because I was a programmer and I know not to do this. They allowed you to rate the game, A, if you didn't own it, and B, before it was out. So people were giving this game 5-star reviews. It's like, oh, I haven't played it yet, but the trailers look good. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, if you look at the
what the hell?
If you look at the reviews on the Xbox One storefront as well, there's one that I saw the other day that said, I will always buy a Forza game, which was the headline. And then he said, I will always buy a Forza game. They're always fantastic. And he gave it a 5, and the game's not out yet. So it was a bit strange.
Yeah, sorry, that was a 5 out of 5. Yeah, that's not like a 50%.
No, it's a 5 out of 5.
I don't understand. It's like, okay, if you want to be, I also get crucified for this, but if you want to be a fanboy of a franchise, that's fine. I'm a fanboy of so many franchises, like Pokemon. I'll always buy that, but I won't then always give it a 10 or a 5 out of 5 or whatever. Yeah. Play the game first. Flipping hell.
You call a spade, and the reason why I gave it 8, even though it is visually absolutely fantastic, the gameplay is really, really cool. There are some problems with the game. Stupid example, some of the level design, my friend laughs at me when I call it level design, but some of the track designs are a little bit weird in the sense that every now and again when you have to do like a drift section or something, there's a tree. Like on the track, on the exactly where you would drift, and then would hit the tree. It just jumped in front of me, and then you would hit the tree, and then you'll either lose your position or you'll lose your skill combo. And I'm like, that's really bad design because it's almost like they have this open world, and they said, right, this kind of track, I've designed the track on another computer. I'm going to import it onto this part of the map.
Yeah.
And then just left everything that was in the map, like rocks and trees and stuff.
I can't believe there's trees on the race course.
Yeah, so, you know, it doesn't happen always, but it is there. It is annoying for me to point out. And racing games also have this weird thing where when highway barriers meet like a concrete block or something at like a bridge or something, there's always that little gap between the two.
Yeah.
If your car hits that little gap, good luck in getting out because it will hit that gap and come to a dead stop. It's almost like, you know, when you're like driving on the, and if this is going to be horrible, if you scrape your car on the side of the highway barrier and it gets to that concrete, you would think that it would kind of like jump off that little gap between the two, but it will get stuck in that. And so that kind of screws things up.
I see what you mean. It's just also racing games like the old Sonic games. They're kind of based on momentum. If you get stopped, you're like, oh, well, there's my fun gone. Now I'm 18th out of 18, and I'm not having fun anymore because of a stupid hitbox on the track.
But with that said, it is a really, really good game. All the cars handle and sound like they should in the real life. Naturally, you can upgrade most of the cars to whatever class you want. Yeah. I unlocked a 1965 Mini Cooper S last night, which is the classic Mini, as people would know the Mini. And I upgraded it to an S class. So in my little 65 Mini Cooper
Not a Mercedes S class, because that would make no sense.
An S class for racing. So I can careen down the highway now at about 260 k's an hour in this little Mini. It's fantastic. But for the most part, I like to keep it as pure as possible, and I don't upgrade any cars.
I saw some people saying this on Twitter. Apparently, this game costs R1,000, even on PC. Which
I'm not sure about the pricing on PC. I know it's a full $60 title if you're buying on an Xbox.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Edition, which we got a code for that was sent to us by Microsoft, costs $90.
Oh my!
And that includes extra cars, VIP pack, the cars that's still coming out. So it includes a whole bunch of things.
That is very expensive. That is a lot of money.
Before I forget.
Yes.
But with that, obviously, one of the new features that the game introduced is co-op campaign. So you can actually join a friend in completing your campaign missions.
That's cool.
So you can do it together. You don't have to just race them now for points and stuff. You can actually, there's a very, very loose story to it.
A story in quotation marks.
Yeah, it's pretty much somebody coming in a voiceover going, "Hey, thanks for putting up this festival. Now go race." And then you just go race.
I'm fine with that. Racing games, I don't think any racing games, apart from like one or two Need for Speeds, have had story.
Yeah, no, I think the Need for Speeds are the best ones. If you're looking for a story, that's the best one.
Yeah. So, awesome. We have links to all of that. I wanted to talk about the price, because new games on console are R1,000 nowadays, and a lot of people have kind of gotten used to that. But also, some of these games that are also coming to PC. So this game, Forza Horizon, and also I looked this morning for Titanfall 2, which is coming out on all the consoles and PC, is R1,000 on PC. So in case you didn't know, PC games are usually cheaper than console games for a few reasons. One of them being that they're not on Blu-ray discs, so there's less to manufacture them. And also, the barrier to entry for PCs is more expensive, so developers make up for that by making cheaper games or selling them for less. And R1,000 for a brand new PC game is something I'm not going to be able to swallow. That is too much money, in my opinion.
I'm just checking on Price Check now, and pricing varies between $900 and R1,000 for the Xbox One.
And on Xbox, does it have a price there for that Ultimate Edition on Xbox? Because I can imagine that must be then $1,500. It should be.
Yeah, it should be. Like I said, my store is in the dollar pricing. So $90 times, what is it now?
$13.90, I think.
Isn't it 14?
Well, just say 14.
That's already $1,200.
Yeah. It's a lot of money. And I'm just thinking, the reason I also want to bring up the price is I recently reviewed LEGO Dimensions, which comes with the game and some LEGO and a portal. I have a review where I explain why that is. And that's R1,500. But at least when you buy that, you're getting a little portal and you're getting toys. And the fact that the game is 15 hours long, which is really long for a LEGO game. How many hours have you put into... How long is the story in Forza? Did you count that?
Once again, story is a very loose.
Well, let me ask you, how long did you play it before you thought, okay, for now, this game is complete for me personally?
That is also a different thing, because there are hundreds of races that you can complete in. But I suppose to put an exact number on it, there are four festival areas that you can upgrade, and then as you get fans along the way, you unlock showcase events.
Okay.
For me to get to the last showcase event and actually see the credits of the game, which would essentially be the end of the game,
it
took me about 15 hours, 20 hours or so.
So yeah, it's just as long as LEGO Dimensions.
In terms of actually completing races, I've been playing this game for about a week now. Yeah. I've only managed to completely finish one area.
Okay.
And there's three more to go.
Oh, geez.
So it is like a Forza game. It will take you hundreds of hours. I checked my progress this morning before we started, and I'm on 32 hours already gameplay. Jeez. And I'm like essentially just a quarter through.
Damn. Okay, so we'll have links to everything there. Now to talk about why this is a special podcast. So without like lifting the curtain too much, we're basically moving to a new premises, and we've been recording in this podcast for, I think, since I've only been at the company for a year and a bit. And Charlie, how long you've been here?
2 years.
Lungi?
3 years and a few months.
It's always been here, right?
Yeah.
The pod. So yeah, this is like kind of the, not the end of an institution, just like the end of an era, the start of a new one. So this is the last podcast. The next one you hear will probably have like different sound quality, or it will just feel
different sound quality. Yeah, I think that's where we're putting it.
It'll have some people in the background.
Well, that's because our next podcast is, again, not to lift too much. It's got a few interviews, so it's not done in a podcast studio. But yeah, yep. It's kind of sad. This is going to be the last one. If you're a regular listener, thank you so much. The series is an ending. We're just saying.
We're still here.
Yeah, from next week onwards, it's just going to be done in a different place. Functionally, it will be no different for you, I just thought it would be mentioned.
Just keep on listening.
Yeah, so thank you so much for the support over the years now. I think.
Awesome.
I've been here for years, kind of. Yeah. And for myself, for Lungi.
Bye.
For Charlie.
Goodbye.
From everybody else at HTXE, we will see you next week, and it'll be a bit different. Bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.